My friends, I want to welcome you back to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm Austin Creed, your host. Normally, I do the show by myself, but today, I have a special guest. I have my girlfriend on the show today, and we're going to make some, you know, I think I'm curious to hear what you have to say about hard choices in life, because you and I have both made some, you know, weird, different choices. Like, for example, you're younger than me. You left your home to come kind of travel and do the job that we're doing now. And a lot of it, I'm sure, wasn't easy, because, I mean, you come at this from a different point of view than I do. And so that's why I wanted you to talk about this subject in particular. You want to introduce yourself, or do you want me to do it? You want me to do it? So my girlfriend, her name is Reagan. She's from Kansas. We're currently in Georgia. I mentioned that in previous shows because we're storm chasing for our roofing job. But what's interesting to me is I met her when I first started doing this business out in Kansas City. And when I told her that I was leaving because the hurricane hit Georgia, I was like, you know what? I got to go chase a storm. There's more money involved in it, and a lot of people need help. And when I told her that I was leaving, she didn't respond the way I was expecting. You know, most of the time when you tell somebody you're leaving and your relationship's kind of new, usually they're like, oh, wow, oh, that's a bummer. Wow, you know, that's too bad, but I'm not going to hold you back. You know, have a nice life, you know, goodbye. That's not how it played out. And you had to make a really hard choice. You had to decide whether you were going to come with me or you were going to stay where you grew up with your friends and your family. So you've told me multiple times it wasn't an easy thing for you to do. It was something that you were very emotional about because you were conflicted. So I want you to, tell me what the thought process was, or was it mostly an emotional decision?
I feel like it was very interesting. I was in a time in my life where I was like looking for a fresh start. So when you Georgia, I was like, all right, bet, let's go. But for me to make that decision, it really was just like, I cried a lot. And then I was like, all right, let's do this. It wasn't that hard of a decision for me to make, minus like my family, which was a little difficult towards the closer that it got to us actually leaving. That makes sense.
It makes sense. But here's what I'm trying to understand. I come at it from normally a term of, I make all kinds of like pros and cons lists in my head. And you've seen me do it before, yeah. Where I'm like, okay, there's a pro here on this choice. There's a con here on that choice, but there's also a pro on that choice over here. I like to make sure that, okay, what's the right course of action? And by the term right, it's super subjective, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's something that in the back of your mind, you're like, I need to make the right choice. And I think a lot of other people would agree with that. They want to make the right choice, but then they don't know what that is.
I feel like personally, I've always just kind of done whatever makes me happy. I've always been live day by day.
See, and that's why part of the reason why I wanted you and I to discuss this together, because I don't come at it from that perspective. And we've had those conversations before of I'm more in the mindset of, hey, I need to sacrifice. I don't care about how I feel necessarily. Mm-hmm. I might want to do something a little more in that moment than others, but that doesn't mean that just because I want it in that moment, then I'm going to want it next week or next month or next year. And that's a thought that crosses my mind. I'm not immediately going to jump to the next thing because I'm not focused on, well, whatever's making me happy in that moment's what I should do. I'm not necessarily saying that that can't get you to your goals. I'm saying that that's not how I come from it. And so when you were explaining how you, like, we had a whole conversation about happiness. Yeah. Remember, we had this whole conversation. And it was interesting to me because we actually were saying similar things, just in different ways.
Yeah.
For example, you were talking about how making, like, you, actually, I'll let you say it. We were talking about happiness in the past. What you were talking about, if you don't feel happy, then you shouldn't be alive. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Because you can't, like,
it was one of those conversations that was it was explained in a way that I didn't understand. And so when you explained it to me, though, it started to make more sense. But the problem was, I come at it from such a perspective of happiness to me is, it's fleeting. It's something that I don't care about every second because I don't expect to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. I want to look back and say, I grinded. I did things I necessarily didn't like, but it got me to where I'm happy and I like where I am. Versus I feel happy, kind of like it's rationed. Like, happiness is going to be very fleeting and you're going to have hits of it. It's like if you smoke or drink or anything like that, when you get that first hit, you're like, wow, this is great. I like this. Then it slowly fades and you need another hit again. That's how happiness kind of works, at least for me. And I think a lot of other people would frankly agree with that. So how do you manage to get towards your goals, but then use that strategy where you kind of have to get a hit, but wean and then get a hit again versus just saying, I don't care about it. I'm going to keep going forward.
I feel like you have to make sure that yourself is happy, make sure that everyone around you is happy. And I live day by day. Tomorrow isn't a moment. So you have to kind of find a little bit of happiness within the world. It's not tomorrow going to be like, wow, yesterday really sucked and I didn't do anything to find something I enjoy, love doing.
It's interesting because I've never heard it explained that way until I met you. Because when I think about in those terms, I think I got to always kind of be happy, which can lead you to dangerous places. It leads you to being more hedonistic, and your hard choices can become more like a, well, if it feels good, I'm going to do it. And that can lead you to dark places, but it can also lead you to good choices. It's all about how you choose to handle it. There are multiple different philosophies about hard choices. Yours was one that I hadn't really heard explained before. Mine is one that I've encountered in my life, military, and so on and so forth. There's ones that are even as funny as, you know what flipism is? You ever heard of that before?
No.
Flipism is the idea, and it was actually created by, I think it was by Walt Disney. It was the idea in a Donald Duck comic that every hard choice you make in your life is decided by the flipping of a coin. Like, you choose heads or tails, and ironically enough, it's actually used in the United States government. So, for example, in the election of 1800, I'll go down a rabbit hole. Why not? I'll go down a little rabbit hole here for a second. In the 1800 election, Burr versus Jefferson, what happened was they both got 73 electoral votes. That was the time then, like a 270 is now, to win. And the founding fathers had never encountered that before. Country was young. They had no idea what to do. So what they did was they decided to pass the 12th Amendment, which was, if there's a deadlock and the states do not certify the election, what happens is the House chooses the president and the Senate chooses the vice president through a vote. But if they deadlock, what happens is they flip a coin to choose who is president and who is not. It is crazy. It's very crazy. But here's the interesting part is, why in the, like, they're kind of almost lazy to a certain extent, passing a thing like that, because you kind of sometimes got to just hope for the best. That's where I'm going with the story is,
yeah,
to some extent, people who are very politically inclined, and we talk about politics on the show, people are very politically passionate in a lot of ways, but the founding fathers didn't lay out everything because they're not God. They're not all seeing dudes from the future. They don't know what's always going to happen. So you can't always prepare for everything. And so there's something elegantly, you know, kind of evil / classy about the idea of flipping a coin and making a decision. It's very simple, but also liberating at the same time. And I compare that to your idea of happiness, because a lot of men were not told that. We're not told to pursue happiness because happiness is fleeting and it's not going to get us to where we want to go. Kind of highlights the difference between men and women today. A lot of times women can have that attitude and win. I've never met a man who can have that attitude and win. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm saying I've never personally encountered that. So, like, how would you say that that's worked for you to get you towards your goals, even though you live day by day?
I feel like you can always have goals in things that you want to do in life, but you always have to prioritize doing just one thing a day that makes you happy. but make sure that you're living life to the, because you can't get to those dreams if you're constantly afraid of stress, depressed, anxiety, you know, all these different feelings that you have day to day. And you can't get there if you're not prioritizing your happiness, well-being.
Well, the reason I like this conversation so much is because a lot of people suffer from burnout. I've suffered from it. Arguably, I'm kind of going through it right now at this moment. But also, I've had friends go through it where they're just like, I loved it last week. I even liked it a couple of days ago. And now I hate it. I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about this idea of finding something that you actually enjoy every day, even if it's just one thing, like going to your favorite coffee shop,
yeah,
or going to the park, or if you have a dog, playing with your dog, like something simple can produce happiness.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't have a whole lot of like prep before the show because I like it to be organic. I like it to be a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Lin Yutang before?
No, I don't think I have.
So Lin Yutang was a Chinese philosopher and he wrote a book called The Importance of Living. And his whole philosophy wasn't happiness is in the flights of poets and understanding the complexities of the universe. His idea of happiness was getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof.
Real.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. His whole thing about how he has a whole chapter about lying in bed and how that makes you happy. Yeah. He has a whole chapter about like little moments in time because he was holed up in a monastery for like 2 weeks because of rain, and he was raised by Christian missionaries in China, but then he was very atheistic and whatever throughout his, and he's like a normal person. Most people don't start with one belief and end their life never changing it, never questioning it or anything like that.
Right.
One of the hard choices we make in life is whether to go with what our parents taught us or to do something completely different or somewhere in between.
100%.
And so when you read the book like this, he described the idea of like cutting a watermelon on a bright, sunny, warm day. That's pause. It's not happiness. Like that's like letting a fly out of a room that was annoying you. That's happiness. Like
sure.
Little things like that, that normally you would never think about that. You think that being happy is like, oh, I got my dream job. Oh, I got my dream relationship partner. Oh, I got my dream car. Like I'm so happy. Wow, this is great. Like
yeah.
They think that that's what they need. Not cutting a watermelon or getting your hair cut or scratching an itch on somewhere on your body and having it go away.
100%.
Like little things like that people overlook
because
they're so busy with their lives. They have so many things going on that they don't stop and almost smell the roses and understand the simple pleasures of life.
I live day to day and I finding myself that I need something that's gonna bring even if it's just a tiny bit of happiness. Doesn't necessarily need this like huge, life changing thing, but waking up, brushing my hair makes me happy. Like painting my nails makes me happy. Getting, things like that, making the bed, like simple things like that can make somebody happy and release that serotonin to keep you going. Because if you don't, the serotonin going, then you're just not going to like feel the best and do your best.
I 100% agree with that. It's like, but again, I didn't think about that when you explained it the way you explained it. I think a lot of times we go on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, whatever, and then we'll hear people say what you said the first time when you and I had this conversation about being happy every day to some extent, like finding something that you enjoy that makes you happy. And they'll be like, oh, that's so stupid. Like, they'll explain it in a way that people won't accept. They won't be like, oh, let's have a conversation like this and understand where we're coming from.
Yeah.
Or anything. It could be, going to Starbucks and getting a $15 coffee. Or it could be something.
$15 on coffee is ridiculous.
I'm using it as an example. I'm just saying, like, it's the idea that that's one small thing that where you're like, oh, that wasn't awful. I didn't feel like, oh God, I gotta do this again. Like it was something that you actually kind of enjoyed doing a little bit. Like I'll speak for myself. A lot of times, especially in our job that we do, it's very monotonous, very high stress, and I don't have those moments. That's why you burn out if you don't have those moments. And And a lot of times in our job, where we have the sales aspect of our job, it can be very much like that. Wow, I got a sale. That's so great. Oh, I got a homeowner that's working with me. Oh, it's so great. But you're not going to have that every day.
Right.
And so every day when you go out and you knock doors, you call people, you send out emails, whatever, you're going to be like, wow, I didn't get nothing today. Or I didn't get the results I wanted today. Wow, that's really discouraging. I don't like this. Now I gotta make a hard choice. Do I even want to do this anymore?
Right.
You know, and so.
But then after those rough days that you have of like, wow, no one wanted to talk to me that day, or I didn't get a signature, or, you know, all these, I didn't get a job set up today. You know, stuff like that.
Is that your mother again?
No. You have to almost come home and find something that you and like. For me, I color. I have a rough day, I color, because that makes me happy.
She's pretty good at it, by the way. I've seen some of her Harry Potter stuff. It's not too bad.
But you have to like find something that is that anxiety, that stress, that all those emotions, regardless of if you're allowing yourself to. Because you do, and it takes a toll on your brain. If you don't give your brain some kind of cortisol, you're just going to sit in that press and up in that state of, wow, I hate, wow, my life sucks. Because you're not actually finding any to release that serotonin. I meant
serotonin. No, I hear what you're saying.
But like, you have to that so that you don't reach that level of burnout.
No, I 100% agree. And I think that's why a lot of people, they hate their life. They turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to outside substances. Could even be, hey, I don't like the way I look in the gym. And so instead of taking in a slow pace to naturally improve, they want to take shortcuts. They'll take SARMs, steroids, you know, all kinds of stuff to try to expedite the process in the same way that people want to get rich quick. They don't want to grind. They don't want to do things that take time. Everybody wants to win yesterday.
Yeah.
People don't want to wait, pay their dues and whatnot. Like, I was having this conversation with my best friend, and I think I told us about, you know, I was talking with Ben, who's maybe listening to the show. I don't know. We were talking about this idea that our parents, especially if we live in like middle class, upper middle class, whatever, we see our parents when we're like, what, 10, 15 years old, when we start to actually care about what our parents are doing in their life, like how they got to where they are. That's 10 to 15 years where they were grinding and we didn't see it.
Yeah.
It'd be the equivalent to, you know, you don't talk to your best friend who we both talk to pretty much every day. You didn't talk to her for like 15 years. And the next time you talk, you're owning your own hair salon and you're making a lot of money. Wow, how'd you do it?
Right.
They didn't see the day by day of, oh, this failed, that didn't work out, I kind of got that win, but it wasn't really a win. Like, they didn't see all the struggle you went through. They just saw the result. And they assumed that, like, you were winning the whole time.
Right.
And so that's something I've had to see for myself. Like, I look at my parents. You've met my parents. I've seen my friends' parents and whatnot. They do pretty well for themselves. But the problem is, you don't see when they were down bad living on a futon. No.
Yeah.
You don't see when they were making an investment, the investment totally dropped, and they're like, wow, what do I do now? Like, I have no idea what to do. You see them when they've made, you know, three bad choices, but then they made one really good choice, now they're winning. Or they're starting to win. You know, same thing, like, with your mother's a little different than mine, but she was alone. She was a single mom. She had to make it work. I guarantee you she didn't enjoy every second of it. I'm sure it was very difficult for her. But you look back, you look at her now and you're like, wow, she's a strong lady. She's done all these things for me and you're starting to appreciate it now. And we don't do that when we're kids. Yeah, we don't do that when we're kids. We don't see that because we see everything else because our parents are old fogies and they're boring. You know, nobody sees that the same way that you see people on Instagram or whatever and they make a lot of money and they're like, wow, how'd you get to that point? Well, they made one choice when they were young and they stuck with it.
Yeah.
They didn't do five things and fail. And then they're like, well, I don't know what the hell to do now. Not saying you can't win if you take that route, but it's just not different. As obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to hard choices in life, we come to two very different angles to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Like You mentioned to me, you, I think one of your hardest choices was choosing to move away from your friends and your family. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And what was the ultimate, like, at which point did you realize exactly what you wanted? What was the tipping point for you?
I don't really know. Like, to be honest, it was kind of like, I didn't like how I felt when you told me you were leaving. So I took it into my own hands and decided that I was going to help you make the world a better place. So for me, it was just like flip of a switch, and nothing like really made me lean that way or not lean that way. It just kind of like popped into my head and sounded like a good idea.
You mean flip a coin?
Nah, just whatever my head told me to do, I went with it.
You know, there's an aspect of this that we haven't talked about yet, and then I just realized this. Dealing with people who are in your way.
Suck.
Who are haters. Who are very, not even necessarily haters, but they are gonna put little seeds of doubt everywhere mm-hmm. that you go, everything that you do and whatnot. Like, we've had that a lot in our relationship. And it's one of those things that I'm never a bit surprised by, but I've always wondered why. Because when my friends do things I don't agree with, my first thought isn't, oh, I'm going to bag on this. I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to be like, hey, why? Why did you choose to do this? You had a hard choice to make. Why did you choose the choice that you chose versus the other path you had available to you? Why did you choose to do that? Most people don't do that. Most people say, wow, I wouldn't have made that choice, so therefore that choice sucks.
Yeah.
They don't say, huh, you know, I could learn something here if I shut up and listen, or if I ask the right question and then proceed to listen to it. Instead of saying, wow, not the choice I would have made, so therefore I'm right, they're wrong, they don't know what they're talking about. You need more hair ties? She's braiding her hair in what are those? Those are Dutch braids, right? The regular braids? Yeah, she got her hair done somewhat recently, and she's getting used to having it be longer than normal, so it's...
My hair has never quite been this long in my life, and I love it, but... It definitely does get in my way sometimes. So it's easy to just like pop it in a couple braids or like a couple pigtails or ponytail. The last few days it's been in a bun. So I was like, maybe I should try something different. My hair didn't like that very much.
Would you classify that as a hard choice?
No. Just because it's just like I fidgeted with my hair and ended up braiding it. So...
Well, I mean, even right now, as I speak, we've mentioned it a couple times thus far of when we have doubt, especially with doubt with what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to wrestle with some hard choices because personally, I know you and I have talked about this. The idea of flying really appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who've wanted to do that and they're doing it and they love it. Like it's a one and done. They don't need to worry about, oh, do I want to shift my career? Or, you know, there are shows as well as real experiences of people doing one job for 20 years. They retire and then they start a whole other career. Uh-huh. That's totally different. But they have that money from the retirement and whatnot to make that switch.
Right.
Versus us, we're in a little more of a, we're still in our 20s. You're in your early 20s. I'm in my mid 20s. We're in a very interesting situation. And so we don't have that luxury. And so when we...
Vintage.
Oh, okay. She's been on this kick ever since I turned 25. She's like, you're vintage, babe.
If you look at the definition of vintage, it is anything over 5 years. So he entered his vintage era.
See, when I hear vintage, I see a dude from like the 80s with a motorcycle, Ray-Bans, and like a leather jacket.
That's vintage too. You and I, But just remember that there's kids who were born in 2020.
No, I know.
Now you're vintage.
No, one of my buddies who's young, a little younger than me, he's got two kids. I've told you about him.
Yeah.
I understand it. I don't sidetrack. I don't know how people decide to have kids in this day and age this early on because of all the economy sucks.
This economy.
And I don't blame Trump because he's barely been in office thus far. But here's what I don't get. How do people just jump into doing that? Like, that's a hard choice. And they just kind of jump into it. I don't tend to just jump into things. Also, that's a lie. I've done it a couple times, and a lot of times it works out in some ways and really doesn't work out in other ones.
Well, if you ask most people, 90% of that first kid is not on purpose.
Well, now we're going in a whole nother direction.
Like, they it wasn't on purpose, but it was
accident.
Blessing.
Are you calling me an accident because I'm the firstborn?
Blessing in disguise.
No, I think you're calling me an accident.
Well, I can't relate to that because I'm a middle kid. So, and I was planned, unlike my older brother. He was not planned.
The older brother who's what, like 8 years older than you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, okay. Those are superior. That way.
No.
His face just changed. It was ridiculous.
The answer to that is no. That's not what you told our coworker the other day. And she remembers that, by the way.
What?
Remember what you said at dinner like 3 weeks ago? And you were like, oh, you know, he's right about like 90% of the things that he says.
That is true though. But you also have to remember that like you have like 5 more years of experience world than I do. So yeah, 90% of the time he is right. But had I been 25 right now and he was 25, it'd probably be a whole different situation.
No, I think it wouldn't. I think it'd be about the same.
Yeah,
I do.
That's fine.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't know about that. But was
okay.
I'm joking. Most of the time, I'd agree with that. Sometimes, though, you have your moments. You're just like your mother sometimes.
Yep.
But, you know, I didn't intend for this episode to be almost 30 minutes, but I think our conversation it naturally kind of flows, so I forgot how much time it even passed.
Has it really been 30 minutes?
Yeah, almost. What? It's been like almost 28 minutes. But you see, that's the interesting part about a conversation. Like, this is easy. It's easy to talk about hard choices.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to make the hard choices.
It's easy to talk about.
Yes, it's easy to talk about because everybody has a different process in which they decide to make those tough choices in their life, whether they want to flip a coin like Donald Duck, or they want to make a pros and cons list, or they want to say, what makes me happy? I mean, then there's the list could go on. There's always something to be said. There's always something that you could do differently or something you think you maybe should do differently, but you don't always know the right choice. So I leave the question to you, the audience. What do you do when you have to make a hard choice? Because I take the more pragmatic approach. You take more of the, I would say, almost hedonist approach, but I wouldn't say that.
YOLO approach.
The YOLO approach.
Yeah.
You should trademark that. That's pretty good.
I can't trademark.
Did you hear
YOLO
that on TikTok? No. But no. Like, did you hear that on TikTok? Because that's cheap.
What? The YOLO approach?
Yeah.
No, that just came up in my.
That's pretty good. We're keeping that one. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Why do I feel old hearing the word YOLO? Do kids even know what that means anymore? Yeah?
I think so.
You heard that? Because what?
You only live once.
Yeah, but like that was a thing in like the 2010s, especially.
But it's still a thing. Like I have friends who are like, because I just graduated a year and a half ago, but like high school, and I have friends who are still in high school, and they have friends who are obviously still in high school, so and they use YOLO all the time.
Maybe it's one of those surges, like you know how like the 80s become relevant sometimes in fashion, 90s and stuff like that. Maybe that's coming back.
But it's same with hags,
or if you're a Miss Paul, it's heifers.
No, hags, like have a great summer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about it in different, did a different.
No, have a great summer. That's still
Oh,
something that.
God. I remember the yearbook days. I actually was in, did you, I was in yearbook when I was in high school. Did you know that?
I was too.
I was the only guy in yearbook my
We
first
had
year.
way more guys than we did girls in yearbook.
Really? I was the
Yeah.
only dude in my junior year of yearbook.
That's crazy.
The only, I was a token male. You want to talk about DEI? I was the token white male in my class of mostly Asian, white, and Indian girls in my high school.
That's crazy.
So it was one of those funny things where I didn't know that until I joined a class and I was like, wow, I should stay here. The getting's good. That was not a hard choice. That one was pretty easy. And even an elective, I was the only dude in the class. I'm like, I'll take it.
I think one of my hardest choices, to be honest, was deciding to go back to soccer after I hurt my knee.
Because you were what, a goalie in high school?
I played soccer for, so ever since I was, no, I'll tell you, I played soccer for, and I hurt my knee my sophomore year. I was playing goalie, but I also played outside and defender, which I don't like playing. But
Nobody likes playing defense. Even when I play basketball, defense is boring.
well, they realized really quickly that if they put me as a defender, I'm gonna be a second goal. So they stopped doing that. But I hurt my knee, had to get knee surgery, and then I still decided 2 years later finish out my high school experience on the girls' soccer team. And I ended up hurting my knee again.
But here's the interesting, soccer is one of the few sports that's like kind of mainstream, that's mainstream that I don't really know much about. Because in America especially, there are bigger sports to play. And if you're in Europe or Africa or South America, football is the way to go.
It still is the way to
But what
go.
I'm saying is, like, if I, as a taller dude, was never told, hey, you should play soccer and play goalie. I played water polo, I played volleyball, I played basketball. And I did not ever consider playing soccer once. So I don't really know all that much about it. So when you talk about it, I'm learning something too because I don't know the lingo. Like, I barely even watch the World Cup because I don't even know that much really to care. All I know is when I'm around people who are watching it, it'll be dead ass silent. And then all of a sudden, oh my, whoa, it's crazy. Like the goal scored and it's like, what just happened? Like everybody just went from 0 to 100.
That's one of my favorite things, though, about soccer, that it's a very calm sport to some extent when you're watching it, until you like see the goal happen, and then you're like, whoa, because something usually really cool by the goalie or cool kick or some kind of trick was put into place to get that goal. But when you're on the field, it's a whole different situation. Like, it's so go, 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 watch yourself, because someone can flip that ball around and like that, like.
All I'll say is I never played soccer, but the one time when you and I were kind of messing around playing soccer, I scored on you pretty relatively easily. So, I mean,
You also have to remember that I am not in the same shape that I was when I was playing.
cue all the excuses.
Also, the goal was how big?
It was small, which
And
makes
that
it
thing was
easier for you as a
so.
defender.
No, because I'm not a defender. I'm a goalie slash outside midfielder, which is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Didn't I tell you all the excuses would be just not incoming? That's like you scoring on me in basketball and then being like, well, you see what had happened was, and then immediately being like, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think I also wasn't in fight you to kind of having fun.
Oh,
So
Miss Competitive wasn't feeling competitive.
not at that current moment, no.
Oh. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I appreciate your willingness to talk about hard choices, because obviously we've done a lot in a relatively short period of time when it comes to life changes, hard life choices, currently, you know, making another potentially hard choice, like all of these things. And so I think it's something we could easily talk about again. I know that you're not used to speaking to a microphone. You don't like public speaking very much. This wasn't so bad, was it? Was it as scary as you were expecting?
No, it was just weird.
What's weird?
Like talking, like having a conversation, but also having a microphone to your face. Like, that's weird.
Wow, is it? I guess for me, it's not weird because I've done it so many times, but I could see at the beginning it's kind of weird, but it's a lot harder when you're doing it by yourself versus when you're doing it with other people, because then we go down rabbit holes. We've gone on rabbit holes in the conversation we have right now.
Yeah.
But that's normal. People's brains do that all the time.
And you've got someone with ADHD, so I'm going to give you a run for your money.
I go on a rabbit hole all the time. People who listen to the show will tell you that I do that, and I love it, because people's brains work that way. I don't know how people watch Fox News or any of these other organizations where, like, they get on a blackboard and they're like, all right, everybody, here's what we're going to talk about. This, 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 and this. That's all they do. They don't talk about what they did that day. They don't talk about what they're interested in. They don't go down rabbit holes. Like, it kind of gives you, like, a breather. It's like when you watch a video and it cuts a little bit and it's always changing the scene. People's brains work the same way. When you change topics, they're like, oh, they're not talking about that anymore. They're talking about this. Like, that's how people's brains work. People like it. And don't lie to me. You watch TikTok, and I know you do the very same thing. Don't lie to me. Yes, it is very true. All right, my friends, I leave the rest to you. Let me know your comments. I think it's hard for us to make decisions when it comes to things that affect our future. But all the same, it's nice to see different ways to do it, different approaches that you can take, because when you don't know what you don't know. I know it's a weird thing to hear, but you don't know what you don't know. And so when you start to learn things you didn't know, it gives you those options to make hard choices in maybe new and dynamic ways that you hadn't thought about before. So, you know, the show's gone a little longer than it normally does. But that's because the show's been a little bit different. And if you have any comments, anything you want to talk about, how do you handle hard choices, you let me know. Also, let me know if you want Reagan back on the show or if you never want her on again.
Dang, how rude.
I know, I'm very rude. All right, you guys take care of yourselves. We're out of here. Peace.